heart turns away, it's when our heart is captured by other things that we find it hard to pray. And so the third thing that I want to continue with is assurance. Radically convinced. Romans in verse 9, it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Paul's writing this and he's saying that the righteousness of faith's sole focus, what it looks at in its confession, is Jesus. It's not just words that come out of your mouth. It's not folded knees. The posture of prayer comes from an assurance of Jesus. You can be standing, you can be sitting, you can be kneeling, but the heart and the mouth together have a posture of an assurance that Jesus is Lord. That's how prayer life will flow from your life. And I want to ask you, are you sure when you pray? Because if we believe that our prayers avail much, if we're sure when we pray, we would pray much more often. And God offers an assurance. In verse 11, I didn't read this to you when we started, but this is the very next verse. It says, "For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame." God wants you to be assured. The Bible says that you can be assured of that God will never let you down. That those who believe in God will never be let down. You could be assured. And many people today are not sure. When talking to someone who knows nothing about Christ, they always ask, "What happens to me when I die?" It's the fear of the unknown. It's the fear of every human heart, is the unknown. And Christianity is the only one that offers that, that says now, where you are, you can be assured that you will never be disappointed by God. And that word, never be put to shame, well, put to shame is one word, and we translate it as disgraced or disappointed. And he says, everyone who believes in him will not be disappointed. And that's what the Christian message says. That's why we pray. That's why the other religions, they have prayers, but they're empty. You ask them, why do you believe? I asked them, a taxi driver when I was in New York City, why do you believe? He said, well, my father believed. He's like, we take the religion of my father. He was a Muslim. But if you ask a Christian, why do you pray? It's a very personal response. And it says, because I'm assured of him, because I know him, because there's a God that I have some type of something that I can hold on to, something I can say, like, I know he's real. And so for those of us, if you're looking at your prayer life and it's non-existent, or it's just not flowing, I would look at, are you sure? Is your faith sure that God, that Jesus is Lord? And when you know that, when the human heart, that's the rest that so many people are looking for. People want to know, to be assured of that what's going to happen to them. And not only then, but now. And that's what God offers, a presence now. And God always wanted you to know, and I want to show you this in the Old Testament and New Testament, Proverbs 8:17. It says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. And this is a chapter on wisdom, and we know that all wisdom, all truth is found in Jesus. And so those who seek me diligently will find me. John 17:3, this is Jesus talking. And he says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Jesus never gives a promise. God never offers us something that he can't give or that we can't receive. There's a lot of people who don't know God, but that doesn't mean you can know God. He made a way for us to be sure, for us to know him. And so in our prayer life, when we know and when we believe, it births prayer, it flows freely. And we always get stuck on that. We always get stuck on that verse. And if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, that's the place that we always, it's so difficult for us. And and people say all the time, you know, you got people over here saying, you got to confess it out loud. We're looking at this just as a sinner's confession. You got people over here saying, no, you have to go to the front. No one heard you in the back. It's not just out loud. You got to say it over here. You got to come up over here. And then you have people saying, well, did you see what they did after? They're not saved. And there's people that we look at this verse and say, every time we say, well, how do I receive Christ? If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, and then we're busy trying to figure out if they're saved. And we argue over this verse, and there's all kinds of different denominations that say, no, you just got to raise your hand. Other verse says you don't have to say anything, say it in your heart. But don't you see this is a verse about, it's not a one-time prayer for sinners. It's a lifetime declaration of a saint. It's something that we never graduate from. It's something that we never move on from. Every part of your life, everything that we do, every step we take, every move we make of prayer life exists because of the fact that we are confessing as we live that Jesus Christ is Lord and God raised him from the dead. And the Bible says this, without faith it's impossible to please God. This is the key to everything. This is the key to our prayer. This is how we know that we could be assured that we can come to God. See, the confession of your mouth and the belief in your heart, people are always trying to figure out if they did the one or the other right. But those two never fight. When the Christian man emerges, it's both the confession of his mouth and the belief in his heart. A Christian, the things he says, the way he lives, will always be in tune with the things he believes in his heart. You can make a lot of acts on the outside. You can look saved. There's a lot of, the Pharisees looked really good. But what about the heart? That's the part we can't see. And so it's pointless to try to debate and go over that. It's a personal thing. That the person has to be assured in God. He comes with a belief in his heart that is so radical that it's like a marriage. It's his heart and his the way he lives. And it comes together, and we have the life of a person who is a praying person, a Christian, a saved believer. And I want to begin to close with this part of what Paul talks about. And in the same chapter, over in verse 20, he says, But Isaiah was so bold as to say, I was found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me. And the next verse says, But to Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. If you look at the life of a Christian and their prayer closets are empty and their Bibles are dusty, that's a sure sign of something wrong. And that's what my whole point to us today, and I'd like to look at a passage of Luke that will help us, hopefully help us see something that Paul is saying here. It's in Luke chapter 18. And this verse is this parable or this or what Jesus saw, it's so important for us. He spoke this parable to some. It's Luke 18 verse 9. And he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. So he's talking to people who are trying to work out their salvation or work out their righteousness. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. This was a prayer that many of them would have prayed in that day. This was a common prayer, you know, it's the thank you, God, that I'm not like that. Thank you, and praying that out. And this is so important to us because he's saying right things. God came to free us from all that. We don't have to be unjust. We're all the sin is taken away. He's even coming to thank him first. The Bible says, you know, you enter his courts with thanksgiving. This guy is praying. And look at the tax collector's prayer. Watch. And it says, verse 13, and the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. In verse 14, Jesus says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other one. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. You see, if we look back, Max, if you go back to verse 13, look at the words he says. We would say there's not enough in there to say that you're saved. We would begin to argue that this prayer is the wrong prayer and the other prayer was the right prayer. But look at what God says. Jesus says, this man was justified and the other wasn't. All he said was, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. But that was because in his heart, something was there, something happened, and it came out of his mouth, and he had both the belief in his heart and the confession of his mouth. And so for those of us that when we are so busy arguing over there with different churches and religions and saying what you have to do, what you have to say, there's people over here that God is absolutely changing their life, and it's people that we think that God would not do. It's the single mom. It's the girl who hates the way she looks. It's all this stuff. And we would say, you know, this is all the stuff you got to do. And she just comes, or that person comes, or you and I come. And we say that we approach just because of the righteousness of God, just because of what Jesus did. And so our prayer life will be born, will flow freely from us when we begin to understand that there's an assurance found in God. That we come and we begin to pray, not because we should or because we have to, but because we can. And because this sinner, he had to express what was happening in his heart. It began to change his life, and you never move on from that. And so, know that he's accessible. Know that Jesus made a way. Know that it's attainable, it's near to you. It's not a foreign thing. It's not a distant thing. It's not for your wife or for your husband. Every believer, this is a Christian, is a praying person. And so we're all prayer warriors because of this, an assurance, a radical change in our lives. Understanding and coming to God without all the pretense, without all the fancy words, and we come knowing that it's the righteousness of God that enables us to pray, to communicate, and to live our life. And so if we don't understand all that, and if we try to move too far past that, we ultimately miss the goal, we miss the understanding, and we end up with prayers that are tried on our own strength. But every believer, their whole life is a walking declaration that Jesus Christ is Lord, and he was risen from the dead. And so that will change you, and that will change people around you, and that is the gospel. Don't ever move on from that. And so let prayer flow from your life because of what he did for you. Pull down the truths of Christ in your prayer life. Understand that everything has been finished in him. And there's hearts, maybe not here today, maybe here today, but I know in the world, there's weary hearts who have tried all the different ways, who have tried all the different religions. And Christ gives you rest from all of that. And he gives you an assurance. He gives you a knowing that you're going to be with him. And even now, you can experience his presence and his power in your life. So begin to pray knowing that prayer is near and it flows from your heart. All right, let's just stay seated for a bit and let's try that. Try a prayer that you've... without all the fancy introductions, without all the words, a prayer that is genuine, a prayer that knows God. And so I'll pray with you if we close our eyes. And the reason I'd like us to remain sitting is just so we can focus, so we can understand. And so Father, we come to you. God, we know that we can come to you because of our confession, because of the belief in our heart that Jesus, you are Lord, you are Savior. and you are the end of the law for me. God, that you are the end of the law for righteousness for me. Everything is finished in you, Jesus. And so I look to you for my righteousness. I look to you for my strength. I look to you for your finished work. Everything that I've been trying to do on my own, that I've been trying to make work, God, I give it to you in rest, knowing that you've done it all. God, I come as you are. I haven't walked far. But a moment's look at you, God, a moment's look at my heart's look at you, and I know that you're near. God, I pray for those who are running from you, God, those who are running from the confrontation in their heart, the knowing that the word is near us. It's in our mouth and it's in our heart. It's put there by the Creator. And so, God, we come to you and we seek you in a way that is not distant or far, but is very near. And God, we also come to you and we trust in you with an assurance. God, we're radically convinced that you are God. And I pray, God, for those of us who need a reminder, God, those of us who need to come back to that place, God, those of us who've never even been to that place where we have put our faith and our trust in you, God, something that's real, that we can't pretend on the outside, that we can't hold it in, because it changes the way we talk, it changes the way we walk, it changes our hearts, God, it gives us rest. You give us rest. You are the answer to the world, and we thank you for that. And so, God, I pray for us as we enter into this year, that we will come to prayer, and prayer will begin to flow from our life, God, that our prayer meetings would be full, God, but not just for the sake of meaning for prayer, but because people can't pray enough, God, because people want to talk with you, because people want to hear from you. Lord, in our homes, bring families back together to pray together, Lord. Bring the people back to their prayer closets, that they would be full, God, that people would spend time in there hearing, God, the answer for today's generation, God, hearing the truth, God, that every person is able to be used by God, because we receive what we need in you, God, and we thank you for that. And we pray, God, for this new year, that you would raise us all, God, to do your work and to believe and to know and to walk and to talk the way that you have shown us, God. And we thank you for that. Every person is able and has the authority and power when they go to Jesus and receive it. And we thank you for that. And so we bless you, God, and we're thankful to be saved, to know you, and also to continue to, for the rest of our lives, to know that you are Lord and that you are risen and you're a risen Savior. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, I want to thank you for coming out tonight. Today, I'm used to speaking to Elevate, so thank you for coming out today, and I hope that you'll be praying this week.